The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, that is right. Welcome. Good morning, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And it's the 20th of November, 2025. And, we are moving toward the end of the year. We are progressing at an understandable pace. And it's the right time to thank Matthias Angala. This is the time, especially from the hour of 6 to the hour of 8, where we discuss business, economics, and, we look at, global affairs. What is happening at the global platform? What is happening in the continent of Africa? And indeed, what is happening in Namibia? What are those things which are making it difficult for us to get bread and butter every day? And also, what are those things that we need to do? What are those things that we are doing very well? And what topic of conversation do we need to embark on? That's why this is your morning economic conversation program. This is where we discuss those issues. That's why we're always indicating to you that this is a platform that is not one-directed conversation. It's a platform that is encouraging constructive conversation, constructive criticism, and also look at where and what can we do. This is also the platform that we bring topics that you find it very difficult to explain, but we need to make sure that at the end of the day, you have an outcome which is positive, and an outcome which will allow you to continue moving forward with clarity, and also with economic content, and also content of development, because it's not correct. It's not correct for us to continue with challenges that we have been with for the past 10 years or so. We need to come up with something, but when you need to come up with something, you need to have a conversation about a certain problem and discuss it very clearly, and also see what assistance do I need, what assistance a certain institution need, what assistance a certain person who is running a certain institution need, and also what do we need to do as Namibia, particularly when you look at internal self-assessment. What are those things that we are not doing right? What are we busy focusing on? And when are we going to reach what we put on paper, and how are we going to assist those who are leading the ship of Namibia toward the destination called Vision 2030, and also the destination called the Better Namibia. We are always indicating you every morning to say the fact that you are awake, the fact that you have energy, and you are listening to your number one favorite talk radio station, it means that you are one of the luckiest people. It means that you have energy. It means that your goals are not going in vain, as long as you are looking up to them, but you are also moving toward them. What is that that you need to do? As I indicated at the initial stage, we are going to be joined by the manager for marketing and communication from NIPAM, this Namibia Institute of Public Management, and also to look at the issue of Prime Minister Galadina, and we're going to be joined by Mr. Johannes Tutale from Namibia Institute of Public Administration and Management, and also to bring about that discussion. But yeah, what do we have particularly, what is happening in the continent of Africa? What is happening in the continent of Africa? What is happening in the world? And also, what is happening in Namibia? So, it's indicated that G20 is approaching. G20 is approaching, starting on Friday, but the main meeting will start in the weekend. And that is where you expect global leaders. Some of them are already traveling, and also some of them are already in South Africa. And South Africa is one of the countries in Africa which has proven to host global events. And we are saying, no matter the challenges in South Africa, no matter the situation, South Africa has proven itself to be one of those countries which can organize and coordinate, particularly when it's coming to organize and coordinate and hosting of guests. You look at Pan-African Parliament, you look at a BRICS summit, and you look at many other international conferences, and you must also be able to know that when it's coming to transformation of OAU to African Union, it was geared and centered in South Africa, and that was the time of President Thabo Mbeki. But we are yet to expect how G20 is going to be, and how is the handover is going to be. The fact that the U.S. delegation say they are not coming, as the President of United States of America communicated. But G20 is a very important summit. But what is country? The news here is that South Africa says security services are ready for G20 summit this weekend. That was the communication of National Police Commissioner. It was the communication of National Police Commissioner. That is General Fanny Masemola, indicated that officers of the country are ready to coordinate and also protect the delegates, citizens of South Africa, and make sure that G20 go according to plan. And, you know, even if there is an ongoing investigation in the South African criminal justice system, General Fanny Masemola, with a doubting task, indicated that South Africa is ready, especially the security forces, because there is something that we don't really speak about, especially when it comes to conference, you know, interstate protocols, and also those who organize you know, bigger conferences and also international summits. We mostly look at delegates who are there, but we don't really look at who are those people who make sure that everything is going according to plan. Who are those people who make sure that criminals don't enter the venue? Who are those people who are making sure that somebody should not just plant a bomb anyway? Because when you look at, for example, you watch World Cup, you just look at players, but you don't really think about the security. You don't really think about even ordinary security officers. You don't think about, you know, those who are protecting the guests, those who are protecting the men in the suit who make decisions. But looking at that news, security forces in South Africa indicated that they are ready, and also to coordinate with other security to make sure that there is success in G20, and to make sure that the aim of G20 is achieved, because what is on the agenda, it's on the agenda of G20 is huge, particularly looking at the aspect of global economic recovery, looking at the discussion on climate change, looking at discussion of debt relief, and also countries to discuss to say how do we move forward, particularly with this global shifting economy, and also realignment of countries, and also the change or the advocacy for change in, you know, international financial architecture. But for now, let us look at this news and move forward, particularly from the South Africa security, South African security forces, which indicated that they are ready. They are ready to host G20, and everything is according to plan. That is the communication from Fanny Masemola, that is a commissioner or general, and also a national commissioner of South African police. Let us look at this news and move forward.
With just a few days to go to the first ever G20 Leaders Summit in Africa, South Africa's security cluster says it's ready to secure delegates from around the world. On Wednesday, the Acting Minister of Police and the National Police Commissioner rallied troops at a parade in Soweto, saying they must act decisively against troublemakers.
We want you to do the work in terms of the constitution, in terms of all various laws that we have in the country, and make sure that you do it with all your zest and dedication. There is no any other one behind you that will have hope on. The hope is on you. So as such, make sure that when you deal with the society and the delegations, you can give that smile. And when you give, when you deal with criminals, handle them the way you're supposed to deal with a criminal.
The police service says protests at the summit in Johannesburg will only be allowed in designated areas around the venue.
Several civil society groups are planning to hold demonstrations over the weekend, and it says those who fail to comply will face the full might of the law. A hard lockdown will be enforced from Friday around the summit venue, which will remain in place until Monday.
Yeah, the strength of the country's economy is not only shown by numbers, but also by safety and security. That's why if you have security which is in order, when you look at what's happening in South Africa, be able also to see that the units are out, you have the TRT, Tactical Response Unit, you have the Hawks, you have all other units in the South African police, they are out, and they are showing themselves that they are ready. You also have the air support, you have helicopters that are there, and as Masemola has stated that when you are dealing with guests and delegates, you must give a smile, but if you face a criminal, you must handle them the way you are supposed to handle them. But it's also interesting to see that no matter the challenges the country like South Africa is facing, they are still moving. They are still moving, particularly toward hosting that very huge, big, and conference that is going to define the future of global economy. It's one of the conferences that, one of the summit that's going to define the future of global economy. And it's very also interesting to look at that. And look at organization of a summit. So it's quite also one of the things that bring about international confidence to a country, to say, no matter what people say about Africa, we still can do it. With infrastructures are there, but you also be able to ask yourself to say, to what extent is Namibia able to host a global summit? Do we have infrastructure? Do we have the required security? Do we have, enough resources? And are we able to handle that? Are we able to handle more than 20 international or global figures, presidents and heads of institutions, keep them safe for 3 to 4 days? Are we able to do that? And it also says a lot about the economy, the standard, and also the infrastructure of that country. Yeah. While we are there, we also need to look at other news, especially when the president of France, French President Emmanuel Macron, will embark on a new tour of Africa this week, hoping to spur new dynamics in the relationship between French and also the continent, and that was indicated to say, looking at President Macron, it's indicated that France is looking for new relationships, is looking for a new relationship, and also strengthening its relationship with Africa, because you must be able to realize that for the past 3 years or so, when it's coming to France and international relations, they have been not be on the good side, particularly when you look at the countries in Sahel region, which are former colonies of France, which indicated that they want to be independent, particularly when it comes to economic independence. They remove all the ties with France. They gave an order for France military to leave their countries. And also they renew and revise their mining policies that also made it also very difficult for France. And you also be able to realize that most of the French colonies or former colonies of France, they find themselves in unstable democracy. And it's like a trend which has been happening particularly in the Sahel region. But looking at Macron, it's indicating that he's looking forward to rebuild trust and also relationships, and also looking at what needs to be done, particularly when it's coming to pursuing of the French interest in Africa. Remember, as we speak now, France, like many other countries, is in debt. You look at this, it's a national debt, or its debt per GDP can also be able to see that it's beyond 110%, which make it very difficult. That's why you have been seeing removing of or resignation of prime ministers in France. More than 3 prime ministers within a year. You also be able also to see the instability that economic tension or economic challenge can cause within the country. That's why it's indicated that the French president will embark in a tour to move around Africa. Especially will start in Mauritius. That will be today, promoting partnership and also move around Africa to see how to rebuild trust. And when you look at, for example, Burkina Faso, you look at Mali, you look at Niger, you look at Central Africa, you look at a recent case of Madagascar. Maybe you also need to ask to say, when you are coming to visit Africa, are you also bringing our head of SADC, who left his country due to tension, also coming to build peace, or just interest of France? Because we also want France also to assist in peace building. So we want France to assist in peace building, because not only about the interest in diplomatic relations, but also the interest of Africans. And also maybe it's also a question also to ask, and also to look at, for example, the chairperson of African Union Commission to say, when Africa is engaging with the external world, what is the position of Africa? Are we just at the receiving end, or what is the position of Africa, especially when it comes to the continental interest, fighting of drought, fighting of poverty, diseases, and also instability? And one may also be able to ask to say, for example, when you had the military support of France in Mali, in Burkina Faso to fight the militia, did that help or prolonged, the military truce between those countries? Did it really help in fighting of militia? Did the external forces assisted in fighting of militia? Or that is a problem that was supposed to be, or is supposed to be, solved by African countries inside the continent of Africa. So let us look at this news, particularly from that side of France, when Emmanuel Macron decided, or is coming to Africa, already starting today, and also to look at how the relationship will be rebuilt, and also to see if he's going to attend, or how he's going to attend the global summit of G20. But for now, let us look at this news and move forward.
French President Emmanuel Macron will embark on a new tour of Africa this week, hoping to spur new dynamics in the relationship between France and the continent, according to the Élysée Palace. The tour will start with a visit to Mauritius on Thursday to promote partnership with neighbouring French islands Mayotte and Réunion. After Mauritius, Macron will be flying off to South Africa to attend the G20 summit over the weekend. He hoped to use the event to meet with his Algerian counterpart and try to appease tensions between their two countries. The tour also includes a stop in Gabon, where Macron is scheduled to meet with President Brice Oligui Nguema. The army general won the presidential election in April. His victory effectively ended the 2-year transition period that followed the ousting of Ali Bongo in a coup. The Élysée Palace said Macron would show support to the new Gabonese authorities. The French president's tour will conclude with a visit to Angola for the summit between the European and African Unions.
Yeah, that is what is happening. France is, Emmanuel Macron is not only coming to G20, but also has some of diplomatic stopover, and also to strengthen the interest of France in Africa. And you're also asking yourself, what content of the conversation, but at the center of that is economic ties. So issues of economic ties, because France is one of the countries that depend so much on Africa interest, and also Africans, they depend on France, but is the relationship mutual, beneficial? It's a relationship mutually beneficial, because he's also going to Gabon, and also meet with the new leader of Gabon, and also to see how France is going to rebuild the relationship. Because if you look at former French colonies, and you compare it at the scale of 10, how many of them have democratic governments, you'll be wondering what you are looking into. You'll be wondering what you are looking into, because it's like a trend now to say most of the former French colonies, if they are not led by generals, they are led by military junta, and also to see how this is going to assist, because an international platform, as we are always indicating to say, it's a matter of permanent interest. It's not a matter of permanent enemies, but permanent interest. Don't be surprised if at one point you see Burkina Faso and France also talking, because the politics of international level, it depends on the politics of interest, not really personal, but how do you work with other countries to make sure that you are able also to benefit your own people? Because what Emmanuel Macron is doing is exactly what other president should do. It's not wrong when you are looking at it from France's perspective. Your country should also do it to make sure that when we go outside Namibia, we don't only praise other people, but we also carrying Namibian flag to say we are deployed, we are representing Namibia at the diplomatic front, but this is what we should get for our countries. But looking at that trip to say, it's not going to be a one-way trip, but it's going to be a trip that before G20, Macron will also move around Africa to see how he is going to extend or strengthen the ties of France with other African countries. Because if you are making real business, if you are trading at an international standard, why shouldn't you do that? If you respect each other country's sovereignty, and you also respect the trades agreement, why shouldn't you do that? Because that is not a problem at all. The problem can only be when African countries are not given an opportunity to grow, when they are not given an opportunity to make choices, when they are coerced, and they are not given opportunities also to add values to their minerals, and also to be a key player in global economic affairs. So while we are there, before we look at today's conversation, there's also a conversation that we need to pursue. But before we go that, look at what is happening. It's happening in Gabon. It was stated that the 9 former Bongo aide found guilty of corruption, money laundering, and embezzlement. So it was stated that 9 of the former assistants to the former president of Gabon, that is Ali Bongo, they were found guilty by the special criminal court. Because, you know, the coup in 2023, that I've seen the arrest of the former president, his wife, sons, and also some of his former close allies, have also been able also to see that there have been a lot of things going on in Gabon, but the specialized criminal court has delivered a verdict on Tuesday to say 9 former collaborators of Salvia and Noureddin Bongo were sentenced to 2 to 15 years in prison for massive embezzlement of public funds, corruption, and money laundering. And stated that this ruling comes just 6 days after Salvia and her son, Valentine Bongo, themselves were sentenced for 20 years in absentia, and also for 20 years in absentia, and they were also called. They are called to deliver themselves from where they are, because rumors stated that they are in Europe. In Europe, that is the former first lady of Gabon, her son, who was sentenced to 20 years. But after that, it's like the criminal investigation and also prosecution is not ending. It's like the new administration in Gabon is sweeping up the house. But looking at the interest and also looking at what French president has indicated, you may also be able to realize that it's not a coincidence, because it's indicated that the French president will also visit this country just to make sure that when it comes to French interest, they are pursued. But it's quite important to look at this news before we go to the conversation for today. Before we go to the conversation for today, and also look at what we have on the table, and also a matter of asking the question to say, what trend is this going to set? Is it the revenge politics? Is it what needs to be done? Is it the justice? How is the behaviors of the next leader of Gabon going to be? Because if you prosecute the former, that of who is coming after you, there's a high chance that he's going to prosecute you, and the trends will continue. If you want to see that, look at the trend, what have happened in Zambia. The sitting president of those days or those years from 1990, you see sitting president prosecuting the former. When the other one come on board, the one who was prosecuting the other. That's why jailing of president in Zambia was becoming part of Southern African politics. And it's a trend which has continued, because if you created a system of revenge politics, if you created a system that is on revenge politics and many others, you will find yourself in a situation that is not going to be easy to maintain stability. But looking at the leadership of HH, you must also be able to see that there are some changes. There are some changes in the leadership of Zambia, which is quite a setting of a trend of good democracy. But looking at the trend which has been there too, must be able to realize that as we are speaking, the former president of Zambia, still not buried, that is Ngarungu. And you are just wondering to say, if somebody passed on in June, till now is not buried with dignity, although at one point he was a commander-in-chief of Zambia. You are just asking yourself to say, how is this going to be solved, and how deep is the tension even after the death of people who were not agreeing on matters? It's quite very interesting to see, but also to look at that aspect with the aim of learning, not only to look at it, but look at it with aim of learning. So, apart from Tanzania continue to advocate for domestic investment due to the possibilities of them not getting international fundings, we also need to look at what have happened in Nigeria, especially after the abduction of 25 young girls from school, where now they are stated to be 24, because one of them has escaped from those who abducted them. And as the militia in Nigeria are becoming so powerful, that's why you're also asking yourself to say, could it be that when the US president said is going to intervene, could it be that external assistance will be fine? Or could it be that there was something which was supposed to be done, particularly from the African Union, to say, when Nigeria is in trouble, assistance are needed, especially military assistance, intelligence assistance, and also air support to search those who are kidnapped? Because it's not the first time. It was stated that the military general of Nigeria so indicated that searching should be intensified. It must be now day and night until those young ladies who were abducted from school in the early morning of Monday found and stated that the security forces in northern and western Nigeria are intensifying efforts to find the 24 young girls abducted by gunmen from the school in the early Monday morning. And that is, and it's also indicated that the President Tinubu has called for swift action to return them to safety, say no effort will be spared in this search. So how can somebody, how can 25 ladies just disappear like that? And what is the strength of Nigerian security? What is the strength of Nigerian security? And looking at the population, looking at the economy, Nigeria was supposed to lead. Nigeria was supposed to lead. Nigeria was supposed to be competitive. Not only in terms of economic power, but also in terms of security. But the more people you have, the high chance of you leveraging on diversity of their skills, either in terms of security, either in terms of economy, and also in terms of, governance. So let us look at this news before we move on with the conversation for today.
Security forces in northwestern Nigeria are intensifying efforts to find the 24 young girls abducted by gunmen from this school in an early morning raid on Monday. President Bola Tinubu has called for swift action to return them to safety, saying no effort will be spared. His message comes amid news that gunmen attacked a church in the western town of Iruko on Tuesday evening, killing at least two people and kidnapping the pastor and some worshippers. A church camera recording the service shows it being interrupted by gunfire while armed men are seen stealing people's belongings. Meanwhile, at Maga School in Kebbi State, parents are waiting in the hope that their children will be found alive soon. The attack echoed Boko Haram's 2014 kidnapping of about 300, mostly Christian Chibok girls, which sparked global outrage. At least 1,500 students have been abducted across the country since then. And in separate news, Tinubu has confirmed the execution of a high-ranking army officer by a terrorist group while held in captivity, days after being kidnapped in the northeastern Borno state. Four soldiers were killed in the Friday ambush.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy out there in Nigeria. It's not easy out there. You see Boko Haram and other militia killing high-ranking officer. They're not killing they're killing generals. And it's not an easy thing. That's why when it comes to African security, there must be a common ground, particularly when it comes to African security. And also the conversation would it be that the thing of a common army that defend Africa, especially during the time of need, is needed. But for now, let us look at Yusuf. Let's look at ShopRite.
Gacha Ready Steady Cook ko One Africa TV. Otoyete wano mapanduro ko ShopRite Namibia.
Yeah, we are moving forward with early morning scoop with me David Shombe. As I indicated, we are here until the hour of 8, and by 7:45 there we'll be in the conversation with Johannes Atutare from NIPAM, especially when he's going to speak about Prime Minister Charity Foundation Gala Dinner. And we're going to have a conversation with him. And it's also very important for you to be tuning in and also have a conversation with Johannes Atutare, especially regarding Prime Minister Charity Foundation Gala Dinner that will be happening. And he is going to be our guest for today. So before we go to the conversation for today, and so some of the news which have been coming in to say the BON, which is Central Bank of Namibia, has indicated that the chief or the governor of Bank of Namibia is going to step down. He's not going on the term and he's stepping down. That is by the end of December, and after serving for 5 years in the health since he was appointed in June 2020. And the statement is indicating that Mr. Johannes Kahab has reformed and also was one of the leaders who put more effort, especially helping Namibia financial institution during a difficult time. Is mentioning of COVID-19 to say the governor, who it's not easy to manage financial institution during COVID-19, balancing economic development with economic security, and also during this global economic changes. So let us look at the caller, but you can still engage us at 083-288-401. Good morning. Good morning.
Yes, morning, Sean.
Yes, how are you?
Good, sir.
Yeah, you are a bit far. Can you come closer to the phone?
Okay.
Yeah.
It's okay now.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
You know, Africa will never have the, you know, one position at the global level when you say AU something.
Mm. Mm.
It cannot work and as long as Africa is divided along Anglo and Francophone, I think.
But why other continents have done it, like EU? And...
Yeah, but they have done it, but you must understand that those people have a common understanding, common position over Africa.
Yeah, yeah.
You understand?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, the AU, even the Americans, even the Chinese, even the all, they have a common position over Africa. You must understand how the global political and economy, you know,
yeah,
set up, and is mostly dominated by the Europeans. Being them the former colony.
Mm.
Of this country,
but
the position is also to say, look, whoever owns Africa must own the world,
mm-hmm.
because Africa is a source of white raw material and cheap labor. That's what you, and that's the position globally.
But
not, never change.
Why is the external world also involved in the planning of African development, particularly when you speak about supporting Africa, African continental free trade area? Do they also bring their plans to us to assist them?
Look, that thing is not really assisting. Those guys are not really, you know, the global political economy is not really through donors and foreign direct investment and whatever you are talking about.
It's control.
Those structures were not really made to assist Africa anyway. No. You know, so they have work and to Omar and Gold wants. No. It's not like that. Mm. That's why you could have already have a country in Africa who have developed.
Yeah.
Why African country, no single country under this over the years, even after gaining independence, they are not developing. They are all developing, there's no developed country. Except for South Africa, because South Africa has a bit a unique history, but you know South Africa where he was heading. Africa, where is he heading to? Because in 1970s there, South Africa was almost already a developed country. Because South Africa was even bigger than those years. But there was South Africa after maybe the removal from Becky there.
Yeah.
South Africa was a big economy was going back. Because of now this black child, the African politics.
But now looking at now at the African development and also what other countries are aiming, Agenda 2063, African Continental Free Trade Area. But are there no some development? But when you look at Namibia, for example, you can see AFTA, there are some moves happening, especially after June, and we are also seeing this week. Are we not moving there slowly, or we are just trying?
Boss, what you need to understand here.
Yeah.
Africa needs first to get out of the franchise system where they are working, where they are in right now. Because the governance that you have now, the system of governance, the system of economy, the system of technology and everything, it's a franchise system of the global economy and politics. Who is sovereign over that system? Is the architect. How are you going to move? Look, if you have, for instance, KFC there, do you have the right to choose where the chicken comes from and the oil and the spice and water?
And let's face the reality. Do you know where the spice is coming from?
No. You are not, even when you are working in F&B there. Yeah. As an employee, what are you going to change? Nothing. A franchise system of economy and politics and it cannot accept.
Okay, now.
That's why I'm saying.
Yeah.
As long as much as a nation and like us Namibia.
Yeah.
We need the message to understand the international political economy.
Yeah.
How it operates in the institution and the structure that are there. Then you have a common position over it. Then you choose now to say, look. Because within this franchise, you need diplomacy first. You understand? To survive. Without diplomacy,
yeah.
Because you cannot compete.
But you need new waves of diplomacy, because if you use the same formula that we have been using, that we have been taught, I don't think we are going to get somewhere.
I told you, you must learn from the Chinese.
You
just learn from the Chinese.
Yeah.
Just learn from the Chinese.
Mm.
Because then, to survive, they need diplomacy. Without diplomacy, Chinese, they could not survive.
And they are very good with it.
Yeah, that's high level of diplomacy that you need. Because diplomacy is a position where, you know, it's like you owe somebody a big man, you know, very strong.
Yeah.
This guy is unable, you're unable to give the debt.
Yeah.
More. He is unable to attack you. He is unable to, you know, to confiscate your thing. He is unable, but you are just there.
Yeah,
because
he's also
scared to say, what if I attack? That's why the Chinese never fought a war at a global stage. And this is what you need to understand to say, the reason why, did you know, I always said it, did you know Hong Kong was given to Britain to lease for 99 years? Now, after, because Chinese now went ahead and started building capacity.
Yeah.
Now, when it's about maybe 30 years or 40 years, the Chinese started gradually negotiating for the return of Hong Kong to the mainland. The British didn't want. Until that time, Thatcher was there. Just to realize that, no, because Britain didn't want to go to Hong Kong. Until they realize that they are unable to defend Hong Kong from Britain.
Because
by this time, Chinese is already built capacity to defend the country.
Yeah, because they are saying diplomacy is another form of war. It's all by other means, yeah.
That's why our people never learn a lesson. To say, even when you give a lindy, you will never get that land back. If you don't have the capacity after the disagreement, tell you.
Because it's also going to be more advanced by that time.
I'm telling you,
it's going to be a town on its own.
Look,
yeah.
Have you read where the concept of smart city coming from? It is originality, how they want things to happen.
Smart city.
People wanted to buy a vast land and come up an individual person can come up with his own city, putting everything, you know, and the people will be own, like, there will be, like, it's like that system of the flat, right? The person build the flat for you, people, you were staying there, you are already like that.
Yeah.
But when the Chinese were supposed now to push that, they, there is something, city, Kunzhen city, kind of like that
in China.
Mm. Now, the concern was, now, what is the role of the state in that? Because they are afraid that the city might, the state might not have capacity to control.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
That private, and what, then say, they are trying a bit, you know, to say, we are not going to with this. Because for them, when they see the concept, because they borrow the concept in Europe,
mm-hmm.
they are starting to say, what if they can also replicate the same in what? But they realize that it might not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Because they are going to diminish the position of the role of the state in that. Because if the role of the state is not diminished,
you're now listening to My Sunday Morning Tech, the show where we dive into everything history, everything geography, a little bit of science, and everything else in between to help you make sense of how it works around you. From 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. every Sunday. Yeah, sorry for that. Let's continue. So I want your view on G20. What do you think is going to be the best outcome for Africa, especially in Namibia? Because other people, when they are listening, we are discussing G20. What is there for Namibia, directly or indirectly? What are your expected outcome?
The position will remain the same because it's a franchise system. Those guys, they just want to strengthen their position. That's why you see the revolution which was almost happening in a Francophone country there.
Yeah.
When there were leaders who realized, no, we need to cut tires with this colonial mindset, the franchise system.
Yeah.
Now you have seen that now France is a bit worried.
He's coming. He's already here in Mauritius. So.
Yeah. Now they are trying to renegotiate, also try to reposition itself, because France cannot afford to lose those countries. It depends.
Mm.
All those countries, the money and the what is controlled by the what? By the French.
Yeah.
That's why there are war in those countries. Because
hold on, one second.
Großartige Neuigkeiten. Imba ist jetzt noch besser geworden. Wir haben brandneue Funktionen hinzugefügt, um dein Erlebnis noch reibungsloser, schneller und leistungsstärker zu machen als je zuvor. Bereit, das volle Potenzial von Imba freizuschalten? Erhalte alle exklusiven Funktionen für nur 36 Namibia-Dollar pro Monat oder spare noch mehr mit unserem speziellen Abonnement-Plänen. 5% Rabatt bei einem 3-Monats-Abonnement, 10% Rabatt bei einem 6-Monats-Abonnement oder 25% Rabatt bei einem 12-Monats-Abonnement. Wähle den Plan, der am besten zu dir passt und genieße alles, was Imba zu bieten hat, zu einem unschlagbaren Preis. Imba, where the world congregates. Lade es herunter und abonniere noch heute.
Esira shisho, pagyotari kukwathere opovoro kara uasira ya kweni ochisho. Watuchi ithana basic mental health first aid course. Haiganjua oshari chamhongi kwa mboka ili iyo NHP. Watapewa unongo nonseo na kene una okutongorora omadidiriko uopetameko yenacha nupiakadhi nenge omathidakano opamadhiradhiro kuchane omokatiko kumekoe nenge anironga kuanga pamwe nangoe osho otapewa unongo nyene una okuya kwathera nokuya pa eabidido yiri mwanjira omanga upya kadiboka inauru darara kuyerere ounji na nyene unokara uishangitha tarira po epanja yao yo nhp.com.na epango na maradura sano ododina okurandurwa NHP rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
So,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Outcome for Namibia and Africa at large would be always the same. No, they
but you are putting me down because I'm always positive to see. Maybe there is something that we can do better, or maybe there is something.
Europe,
yeah,
and the American position of Africa, it's always the same. It never changes. They only change the color.
okay.
You know?
Yeah.
The drink, the view is always the same. The alcohol is always the same. They only change the color, the brand, and maybe the bottle, the size of the bottle, but the position is the same. Look, they are only going to come up with, they are only end up with the two or three things, as always. Debt, the new way to get, the new package to get debt and loans.
Yeah.
Also, the new way how to get this foreign direct investment. And also the like donation through NGOs and that. That is the only thing.
That they will succeed, did they?
That is the only product they are going to get.
But now, when you look, for example, when the African Union Commission, I mean African Union chairperson of the chairperson of African Union Commission indicated that you know debts are piling up than ever before, especially among African countries. There is no country without debt, and it's becoming worsening. Do you think he's going to mention that when he is given a platform? Because I know he's going to say something, especially representing the whole African Union.
But sir, I'm telling you, whether he mentioned or not, that is the package that has been prepared. It will only come in a different country.
Okay.
That's why, even you, just come home, there was no a single, you can go in all the speeches of the president of this country.
Yeah.
There will be no in a speech that the president had mentioned the issue of the debt and that they're going to tackle it. No, it was never mentioned. Never. That's why you can also go in all strategic what? Performance, strategic plan for most of the public service minister institution.
Yeah.
You will never find anything about debt. I challenge you now that debt management, how to close the issue of debt.
But the Minister of Finance had.
You have seen it now. You have seen it now when the president took over. Because we always question the issue of debt. Like myself, I always challenge that.
Yeah.
I even make almost two articles about the debt.
Yeah.
So I wrote it. But you can see now the president tried just, you know, slightly. But people are happy, but it's a step in the right direction. Even if we are trying to, you know, it's like a jubilation. It's like we have done a big thing. Because it was never done before. She's the only person to attempt to pay even a $10 to that. It was never done. The whole time people were just using to go there and getting run debt and what they're using.
So are you saying we are at the recovering stage? We are not really at the stage where we are building what we said we are going to build. We are still recovering because we have a lot of holes that were caused by, you know, others.
And you don't need to go to be in an economic class. Just to understand that if the national budget is the deficit is beyond the national budget. What is that? Bankrupt. Technically, you are bankrupt.
Yeah.
You don't need to be in any economic class to understand that.
And also, if your operational budget is is less, is more than your developmental budget.
That is the issue. You go even for the issue of education.
Mm.
Because we wanted sometimes to say, look, you journalists, can you cover the same? What is the operation budget of all the ministries? Last time we read for education, it was like 80% of the budget of the Minister of Education is going to operation budget.
What are you operating on when you don't have, when you, what are you operating on? We are not developing.
If that's what I said now.
Yeah.
If there's no money for development, that's why you can see the standard of the school and the standard of education is like that. Because it's like you only created those institutions to pay people, Sarah. Is it not like that?
Yeah, no, I hear you. No, before I go to the conversation of today, maybe you can also put just two minutes on the coming back of Air Namibia. Is it well planned or is it out of?
That's a botch. That's a botch. That's just a political because what work and what did not work. Do we have those information? What worked and did not work?
The committee is there. The one that now is Namibia, not Air Namibia, because the name is already out of because of
recognition. Whether you change the color, you change the name, I'm asking what worked and what did not work. Because remember Air Namibia, how many times it was bailed out? The standard, 10 of our strategy that was there.
I think,
which was not even mentioned in whole story of Air Namibia. Did you know that the ministry and ministers and directors, they used to use the service of Air Namibia and they never paid? One of the reasons why Air Namibia and bankrupt. Because the government to government is business. People take advantage, they don't pay.
Okay.
Even if you go to the municipal level now, government institutions are not paying the municipal services. But every time they are budgeting, in their budget, there is that budget of utility cost, include the water, electricity, and water, the municipal services. But they are not paying the money.
Uh-huh.
That's why I said here, the efficiency to run the public institution, something is really totally wrong there. We are not doing that. Air Namibia just poached because it is still going. It's like you are in a relationship.
Yeah.
Every time you parted, you divorce. then later you come back together again.
And just because you want people to see you.
Yeah, because you always say that. Because if you never solve the fundamental problem, every time you what? This agreement.
Yeah.
That the sender of argument is always the same to say, you go, you can also go the same way you go. That's why Air Namibia keep going. It's coming and go, coming go. Because the trend was bailing out. Now it was the point of dissolving it properly. Now when you are coming, now the next stage will be always like it, dissolving, and try to come back. Because there was always the issue of rebranding. You find a new logo, you change the color, the logo, what. And that is a 10-year strategy. Now it's coming back with one. Different color, different name.
Maybe there is a plan, but the question is always, are we getting there? Because tomorrow I'll speak about parliament and also the blockage of making of laws, because people went to the recess now, and the head of state is really frustrated, not only by opposition parties, but also our parliamentarians to say, they are not accelerating laws which were supposed to make sure that Namibia is getting somewhere. But that's a discussion for tomorrow. Let's,
don't want to play politics.
Yeah.
Even the laws that were made, how then these laws have protected the public? If you are at this stage and you are saying, because it's an efficiency of the law, how the law is. So here, it's not all about pushing the law. The impact of the law on the ground. That is the best thing that we need to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Because for Air Namibia also, one thing just to conclude there, is to say, I was shocked to learn that Air Namibia did not own any airplane. Have we crossed that gap?
No. I respect people with ambitions and plans. Let's the plane be there, then we find somebody to assist, because I cannot also not feel very well traveling with. So,
somebody should have come to the public and give a proper report about it to say, look, enemy there before.
Yeah.
It was before independence or what was.
Yeah.
This was the model. Ne?
Yeah.
This is the profit and what this has to do. Now when they take over, this is so that you can identify the problem. The bailout that happened, because nobody has said what was the root cause? Because the root cause of the what in Namibia done for, it was to say, and also with the Trans Namibia, if you put them together, it was people started doing business with him. Because the air link came in, because
now what assistance can we give, because there's an ambitious plan on the table. What assistance can we give to make sure that we revive it?
We just need to do a SWOT analysis, my friends.
Okay.
SWOT analysis, but we have to start from there. And all the bailout that has taken place there. We need to understand.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, 13 minutes past the hour of 7, and we always thank the caller, especially from the intellectual contribution, because giving different perspectives can also let us go back and think to say, what was Razar saying? I may not like the truth coming out from him, or I may disagree with some points, but what lesson are you taking from there? And also, look at what interest is a conversation have for Namibia to say, if we have to analyze our institutions, because an ambition plan is not a problem at all. What is a problem is when you don't have those people to implement that ambitious plan. Because planning is not a problem, but finding right people to implement the plan, that is where the problem is. But thank you very much, and we'll go to a short commercial break. Then we'll look at Namibian identity. We look at Namibian pride. Are we proud of our country? What are those things which are uniting us as Namibians? How do Namibia relate to each other online? And also when they meet either in Namibia, in SADC region, or outside the world, are we happy? Are we supporting our country? What are those symbols? What are those symbols which are putting Namibians together? What are we known for? Because if you speak about South Africans, there is something that they are known for. If you speak about our Chinese friends, there is something that they are known for. If you speak about Nigerians, the Zambians, the Zimbabweans, business-minded people. If you speak about others, but what are we known for? And it's up to you to come and say, this is Namibian pride, this is our identity. We may argue here and there, stereotyping each other here and there, but what is that thing that brings us together? And also Namibian identity, and what is the quality of that? So let's look at the caller, because this is it's a conversational program, and look at the views and perspectives of the caller. Yeah, you can call back at 083-288-401-083-288-401. We also... Good morning.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good.
Mm.
Yeah, it's good to... If you organize your security cluster...
Yeah.
I think it's going to help much.
No, they say security is... The economy is also security. We don't respect that, but I'm starting getting it now also.
I think you know, for you, you are my mentor.
No. I don't know everything. I don't know everything. I only focus on numbers and,
You are just, very, you are not an informant.
You know what they call an informant in South Africa? If you are called Impimpi that time in South Africa, know that they are going to, they are going to take you down. It's an Impimpi win.
We need to face our security character so seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
And make sure that he's really in tune. I was even afraid that, what is happening? No wonder why some of these leaders, they also have some kind of fear. But for Trump, I think for Trump, it's not an issue that much.
Yeah.
So maybe he might not be afraid of the security concern.
Yeah.
But I tell you that I was also listening to that madam, the Matomora, whatever you mention her name.
No, oh, it's Masemora, the general of South Africa, is a man.
Well, yeah, okay. So the one that was also addressing the media, that's what was a woman. So, but anyway, so I think it's very important that we have that security. And the reason why perhaps the French president is going around.
Yeah.
Is that to make sure that maybe you become an enemy to none and friend to all, like we say here.
Yeah.
Because it's very important. So that the economy can really move. And at least you don't have a lot of institutions penetrated by, you know, the criminal.
Yeah.
And all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very pathetic, very, very worrisome when you look at the issue of South Africa and also of other countries, you know.
Yeah.
So we just need to make sure that you really page and make sure that those who are strategically positioned must be really, I don't know how you vet them, because that vetting is very, very important. So, and what else, the point that I really wanted to mention here, I think is just that. And also to make sure that we really organize our security agents very well.
Yeah, what is your take on today's conversation, especially when you speak about Namibian pride, Namibian identity? How do we promote common identity and also patriotism? And we don't or things that unite us as Namibians. So, what is your take on that?
So, thank you. That is actually where we can really begin. If we compromise our security.
No. I Namibian identity and also.
Yes, you know, I'm bringing on the point of patriotism there.
Yeah.
And if we are not proud of ourselves.
Yeah.
And we cannot really, you see, because by identity now is good that your friend, your country is on the map in good terms.
Yeah.
But if we are not patriotic, we definitely, we might even end up compromising our security cluster. So because we are not patriotic, we can be used by any other agent. And if we are not careful, and if we allow ourselves to be used, especially by those, you know, like the way I said to you, my men, that is because the last time when you mentioned about those Madlag Commission of Inquiry and all this ad hoc committee.
Yeah.
And then I started paying attention to that case. I discovered that many a times if people are not really patriotic and they are not there to protect their country.
Yeah.
So we can end up in that kind of a mess.
Yeah.
If we do, if we allow that one, and we are saying we are Namibia.
Yeah.
We are Namibia. And we want to make sure that we protect the sovereignty of our country.
Yeah.
If we compromise on that, I think we will be in for that.
And
so let's become more patriotic.
Yeah.
Our identity is the one that can really give us that sense of understanding.
Yeah.
So I think it's just very important that our criminal justice system
yeah
should be sound enough
Yeah.
And remember, even those who were in higher position, they were really, I don't know how they were recruited. So maybe it's because of the money or whatever, or just people do not just have they don't have their country at heart or what. It's just too bad. So I think through patriotism and all this point that you have mentioned,
yeah,
we can become more truthful Namibians and protect our independence,
yeah,
and the human rights. You know, I was one of the women. No, I'm a human rights defender. And yeah, we must also make sure that whatever I used to, you know, there was a time when they were talking about this non-governmental organization and all, they should be accountable and things like that.
Yeah.
But people can also come through those kind of systems.
Yeah.
And if we are not very careful, we might just allow, yes, this money is for the community and things like that.
Yeah.
So the people behind it might not be more patriotic and use that as a vehicle to get into our system, and then they compromise it, and we know the corruption and all these other things might come in.
Yes.
So you just need to be serious, especially when the legal side there. Put more effort and make sure that our system, our justice system is intact.
Yes, thank you.
Welcome, sir.
Yes. Yes, thank you, Uncle Buena, to bring about that content-based input, especially, you know, when you speak about Namibian identity, speak about patriotism, and we can also speak about what really define us as Namibians. We can extend the conversation to Namibian beauty. When you speak about Namibian beauty, what are we speaking about? And I want to ask you this question. Have you ever moved around cities and towns? You look at us, for example, young people, you look at the way we dress, the way we speak, and you ask yourself to say, what proportion of Namibian identity am I seeing this? What proportion of Namibian identity am I seeing this? Ask a young person, I don't want to say I'm a 2000, I don't want to say Generation Z, but ask a young person and ask him or her to say, what do you love about Namibian? Or just be ask a question to say, which country you thought you would have been born in? How many of them they will say they are proud to be born in Namibia, they are proud to be here at any point in time? Look at the way we dress. Even when it's a traditional wedding or it's a traditional occasion, we don't really go traditional. How do we relate to each other? Because from coming to identity, what is identifying us, they are also, we understand the diversity and a difference between Namibian culture, but do we love each other as Namibians? Do we support each other? And we can extend that conversation to the level of international platform too. To say, when you speak, for example, of Namibian culture, what are we speaking about? How many of Namibians love their country? Because loving your country does not only mean you love it at heart, but in the way you do it, in the way you show it outside, in the way you're supporting it. Yes, we understand we do not have infrastructure for football, but how many of us know Namibian teams or Namibian players just to support them? Even when you take time and go and support, take your time, take your camping chair, go and support them playing there, give them efforts, give them support. How many of us are like that? And it also comes to identity, especially us who became lucky and get an opportunity to go to a tertiary institution. How many of us have changed so much, and there is no even 1% that show that you are a Namibian? People don't want even to associate. You look at the hairstyle, you look at the way we dress, you look at the way we speak, and you are asking yourself to say, how is this going to look like in the next 20 years? Are you proud to speak your mother? And I'm seeing these people, my fellow Namibians, you cannot take, points in not knowing how to speak your mother tongue, you know, fluently. That should be an embarrassment to you. And you are even seeing it to, you are even seeing it to parents. You know, that one, Yapope Shuambo, they are just speaking Afrikaans. Look at the way people speak language at school. So now you don't take Afrikaans, you don't take, Ocherero, at least take French. I do not have a problem with French, but at least you must know your mother tongue. You must speak it fluently. Why you are so much educated? And I'm speaking this because there was a time I got lucky to meet some of the high profile people in Namibia, and I interview, various people. There was a time I interviewed a certain CEO whose name is not going to be mentioned. Then I know the name. The person is a Namibian and speak indigenous language. By the name you can tell. But let me ask you in your mother tongue, because that time I host both BS and also Umundana thing. Then these people, they run away, and you are just asking yourself, man, a woman of this age or a man of this age cannot speak and articulate in her mother tongue, in his mother tongue, and is well educated, and is a leader. What percentage of identity that has to a Namibian? And what does it mean to the future of Namibia? What's so patriotic about us Namibians? We are calling ourselves, we are so patriotic. At what level? You know, when somebody come from Portugal, come here, you have to find that odd Portuguese from you to communicate with that person. They are not interested in learning your language. And you are making it fun when somebody come from outside and not knowing your language, even communicating to you. But you are a very proud person when you abandon everything about Namibia. And this, I'm also mentioning this point, this, gender, the name I cannot remember, there's a certain, individual who took pride and go on TikTok and, you know, while we are expecting the trophy here in Namibia of Miss Universe, this person decided to have an audacity and go on, and it's so embarrassing. You go online and start tarnishing people's name and start comparing a person with other people. Then you forgot that. And it's quite wrong to do it. And you forgot that, for you to come to that point, it also show our inferiority, complex and also self-doubt as Africans. And I want to give this provocative observation and also questions. How many of you just talk to a girlfriend, talk to somebody and say, no, I just want one day, let us put on natural beauty. I want to see you. Just one day, your natural beauty just to come out. And don't put on anything. Just be an African. Don't put any artificial hair. Don't put anything. I want to see how you look like. Are you very happy to be that person? Even men. It's not only women, even men. Are you very happy to be that person? How fluent are you in your mother tongue? How do you understand your African culture? And how do you relate to other people? Do you know one thing which is killing us Namibians is we do not know about it, is tribalism. It's tribalism. Yes, somebody started that and the fire continued burning. And it's impacting the way we do policies, it's impacting the way we do policy, we make laws, and also the way we plan on our development. There is something that I cannot be proud of than the current cabinet, the diversity of the current cabinet, to recognize almost everybody to be part of that cabinet, although not everybody can be incorporated. But there is one thing that you must observe as a Namibian to say, how do you look at other Namibians? Are you willing to work together with other Namibians from different culture? And why so much hatred? And these are some of the things that sometimes they can happen naturally. Look at our political structure. It's not standing on ideology anymore. And I'm telling you this, it's not standing on ideology. It's standing on tribe. And you are seeing it. It's standing on tribe. And this can also make our life very difficult, especially if you neglect one tribe or if you prioritize one tribe over another due to a number of people there within a certain political. Look at political parties. Since 1990, certain political parties, which names I'm not going to be, all of them, there's no exception. There's no exception, are known to, you know, to belong to a certain tribe. But that is not how democracy was supposed to work. Democracy was supposed to work to say, the fact that you are a Namibian, there is something that is called being a Namibian. There is identity that make you stand out, even when you go outside the world. There is identity that make you stand out. There must be something that you are known for. We are the land of the braves. How brave are we? Are we brave enough? We are known to be land of the braves. But what shows that we are brave? Are we brave enough to support each other? Are we brave enough to say we are Namibians? You know, you find somebody else and say, no, yeah, I was born in Namibia, but yeah, now here and all these things. Somebody is proud to have dual citizenship. Somebody is proud to not traveling back to Namibia. Somebody is proud not to be identified with Namibia. Somebody also proud to forget his mother tongue. And you are just asking yourself to say, is this the downfall of our culture and our pride as Namibian? Are we only Namibians because we are meeting at the National Anthem, and we are only Namibians because we are meeting at the National Anthem, Opo? And what danger does it have when we don't have identity, when we continue with a deep division of tribalism, and when you have inferiority complex, when we don't support our culture, we don't recognize our norms and value. Could it be because of lack of identity, lack of self-love, that we also have failure in medicine? We have failure in medicine because we see that it's only something which is coming from the outside. We don't want to use, we don't want to Namibianize and also branding in with our Namibian, our Namibians' products. And is that the downfall of our identity? And what else needs to be done, especially to make sure that we promote the aspect of Namibian pride, to be proud as a citizen, patriotism, service, volunteerism, and also loving each other? Because there's so much hatred. Go online. Everybody has a sword, is on air, ready to cut. Everybody is out there. But when did we come down and say, no, guys, chill, we are just one family. We just came from different tribe, but we are just one family. We are all Namibians. Other countries are united. And I like it. There was a point, I think it's on Twitter, where there was, it's called roasting each other. Somebody said, no, South Africans, they are good at doing this, or Namibians, they are failing at doing this. And all Namibians, they gang up together. But that was not really to say, it was roasting of each other it was not really something very important, but that shows that when trouble comes, you are also seeing people defending each other, say, no, you South African, you also have this one. But it was kind of a comedy. But one thing which came out today is to say, what if we do that for good reasons, to say, this is what we love about our country. This is what you do for the country. This is what we need to do for the country. And this is what we do, what we need to do to support one another. So if we look at that conversation, if we look at that love, I think we will achieve more. if somebody sees somebody from Zambia, say, oh, no, those guys are just Zambezians. No, this one is from Damaraland. This one is from just Vambo. This one is what. And there is this thing, and I want to prove you wrong. There is no superior tribe. Either in terms of intellectual, in terms of being, in terms of your lifestyle. There is no, and there is no superior, there's no superior a person in terms of wisdom. We have this thing of saying, because it's for my tribe, I think we are good at this. There is nothing like that. But what is going to make us win, what is going to make us win is when we realize to say, there is a bigger goal and there is a bigger master that we are serving, and that is the state of Namibia. There's a bigger master that we all are serving. That is the state of Namibia. And for us to make sure that we protect and defend our country. How can you be so patriotic when you just join the NDF because you want a job? You are not proud. You are not ready to die for your country. We are not ready. Many of them are not ready. You join police service not really because you want to be a cop that is protecting, or enforcing the laws, just because you want funding. Because there is nothing about Namibia. You join immigration service just because you want a job, but you don't want to serve. That's why crimes are thriving. You become a leader, but you don't have that sense of patriotism. But when you look at China, they speak Chungu. Everywhere you see them, they defend their country. They tell you that in China we do this. In China this is what we do. And that is also resonating to self-love. They come to your country, they make Chinatown. That is to say, yes, we are in your country, but we know where we come from. We don't want to lose that identity. They preserve their culture. I was lucky to attend one of the meeting with my supervisor friends at a Chinese restaurant. Very beautiful. They treat you like the way they treat other people in China. They make sure they don't want to forget. That shows self-love. It's not about being selfish. There's quite a very big difference between being selfish and self-love. And that can translate in the way we do things. That can translate in the way we do things. So, that is a conversation. That is a conversation that we are looking at. Yeah, but let us look at a short commercial break, then we can come back with our guest.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
Eye. Good morning.
This is David,
sorry, just briefly.
Yeah.
I did not understand your question very well. Now I understand.
Okay.
the context that you were asking your question.
Yeah.
And I think the problem is that our civic education is not really strengthened.
Okay.
Especially when, you know, in many countries.
Just try to summarize because we have 2 minutes before we speak to our guest.
Oh,
yeah.
So that civic education will help us much
in
realizing that our identity, that we are Namibians, we are one.
Yeah.
Despite our political affiliation, different political affiliation and all these other things.
Mm.
So it is just important that we strengthen our that civic education.
Yeah.
When students finish their grade 12 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They literally go for those national youth kind of a thing. It must be compassionate.
National youth service.
If you do that, people will have that patriotism. They will know that their identity. So they won't compromise it with this political affiliation and many other things. So thank you very much.
All right. Yes, in short period of time, we are going to be joined by our guest. That is Mr. Johannes Hatutali from Namibia Institute of Public Administration and Management, and to engage us on Prime Minister Charity Foundation Gala Dinner. And just stay tuned. In more than just a few seconds, we are going to be joined by our guest.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Yes, dear listeners, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. As I promised you, in the studio, we are with the manager for marketing and communication from NIPAM, and that is Mr. Johannes Hatutali, to engage us on Prime Minister Charity Foundation. Mr. Johannes, good morning, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Good morning, and it's always a pleasure being here.
Yes, before we go to Prime Minister Charity Foundation Gala Dinner, how is NIPAM doing, and how is everyone out there?
I know we are good.
Yeah.
The atmosphere is good at NIPAM.
Yeah.
We are busy, executing our mandate of transforming the public sector.
Yeah.
This is through capacity building.
Yeah.
We're doing through the training.
Yeah.
Operational research.
Yeah.
Consultancy.
Yeah.
And capacity evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
The momentum at NIPAM is great. We have been touching base. We have been increasing our stakeholder engagement.
Yeah.
We are really just trying to make ourselves more relevant in the market, within the public sector, and just trying to be close to our clients.
Yeah, that's good, because a lot of people used to call it the University of Public Sector.
Yeah.
It's a public sector, but there are quite beautiful courses out there. So let's go to a short commercial break, then we can come to the conversation.
Save the date for November 26, 2025, when all registered voters head to the polls for the regional councils and local authorities elections. Your voice matters, and your vote is your voice. Head to your nearest polling station and elect your leaders. Remember, every vote counts. Get involved. Put your voice in the box. Vote on November 26, 2025.
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine. Dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously. I am genuinely sorry for you. Cause you clearly haven't been qualified. Like, boring day at the spani. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Yeah, as I indicated, we're in the studio with Mr. Atutari from NIPAM, call it University of Public Sector. But today he's speaking about the Prime Minister Charity Foundation Gala Dinner. And Mr. Atutari, maybe just to give a short background, what is Prime Minister Charity Foundation Gala Dinner all about, and how did it come about, and what do you expect from that?
Yeah, thank you. The Prime Minister Charity Foundation Gala Dinner is an initiative that NIPAM is embarking on.
Yeah.
The first of its kind.
Yeah.
We are looking at raising or mobilizing funds.
Yeah.
To support the public institution, mm-hmm. especially the local authorities.
Yeah.
This initiative is in line with the Prime Minister's commitment for national development and effective governance.
Yeah.
We are just trying to ensure that we become or we remain relevant. NIPAM is just trying to reposition itself at a certain level where they are trying to push its mandate for transforming the public sector.
Yeah, when did it come about, and what have been done so far, and when was it established?
Yeah, this initiative came a long way last year.
Yeah.
With the team, we decided to say we need to embark on an initiative where we support the public institution. Through our stakeholder engagement, we've been touching base with them and then realized that some institutions in the public sector are operating without these crucial documents like a strategic plan, business plan, and performance management system. And these are crucial documents I highlighted to say this document, you know, each institution are expected to operate with this document.
Yeah.
Because these are where you find your strategic objectives for the year or for the next 5 years. And then through our also engagement, we've noticed that some of these institutions don't have this document. NIPAM already took the lead by assisting some of the village council in not developing this, strategic document. So therefore, but then we realized this is, it's better we have an initiative where we raise fund, because this is not only a problem of some certain situations.
Yeah.
There are many institutions out there that are operating without this document. Hence now we came to say, let's have a platform where we raise fund, we mobilize fund to support these institutions.
Yeah, now somebody may be interested to say, when is the gala dinner going to take place, where, and also who are expected to be the participants or to be the attendees of this gala dinner?
Yeah, the gala dinner will take place next week Friday, which is 28th of November.
Yeah.
It's taking place just at our campus, at our beautiful building
In
NIPAM.
Yeah.
At NIPAM. It's starting at 1800 hour to, it's a 3 or 2 hour event.
Okay.
And then the event is open. We have sent out direct invitations to certain institutions within the public sector and private sectors.
Yeah.
And for those that have not seen the invitation, we are using this kind of platform just to invite them. The tables are we are going to sell tables, 10 tables.
Yeah.
Which are, 10 people for 20,000 for 10 people per table.
Okay.
Or in individual for 2,000 per person.
Hmm.
So the directive, I'm like I said, the invitation really, it's out there and we are receiving good response.
Yeah.
So it is just a final stretch just to remind for those that have not seen the invitation to make use to come on board and assist us.
Yeah. Is it only public sector, or if somebody, for example, is, let me say, you are in academia, you are a professor, you are a researcher, and you also have your team that you also have your team that you also want to attend, because somebody is just interested in listening. Particularly when you speak about strategic plan, it's a very interesting thing. It's a very interesting document, because there's quite a bit of a gap in Namibia when you analyze a strategic plan and also the way it is implemented. And I think it's quite a very interesting thing. But what if other people are interested in attending that gala dinner or to meet with Dr. Elia Gulare at that dinner, but interested, how do you advise on that?
No, like I said, the invitation, we are trying to assist the public institution.
Yeah.
So having private sectors or having individuals to come on board,
yeah.
It will be that the invitation is extended via the private sector.
Yeah.
You know, a private sector plays a crucial role in the national development. So I think was it last month when the president launched the public-private
Yeah.
So this is another platform just to encourage also private sector to come on board and assist this this initiative for the Prime Minister to enable to reach the national development and effective governance.
While we are there, you said it's next week Friday, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think we are going to repeat those days, especially at the end of our conversation. Mm-hmm. Let us look at the expected outcome from this initiative. What is the main expected outcome from this initiative, and how does it align with NIPAM mandates and objectives?
Yeah, we expected to see tangible improvement after this initiative, after this launch.
Yeah.
We expected to see that most institutions have a strategic objective, because with this money, we are going to assist institutions.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, we are going to ensure that our consultancy team of NIPAM assist them in developing the strategic plan and business plan and performance management system.
Mm-hmm.
So then, after that, we are going to assess through our capacity evaluation. We are going to assess that they have these documents in place.
Mm.
How are they doing? Are the strategic objectives within those documents are set? Are they being implemented? We are just supposed to see strategic improvement and direction in this department.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then on the other side of how it aligns with NIPAM, you see NIPAM, it's mandated to transform the capacity building within the institution.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, we just want to see improved service delivery within this institution.
Mm-hmm.
Especially local authorities, they are at the forefront of service delivery.
Indeed.
Yeah, so once we have this document in place, we expect to see citizens receiving good quality service from the public institutions.
Yeah. And I hope this will assist a lot of local authority, because you know what we see, especially when it comes to the leadership and service delivery, you just ask yourself, maybe there is something wrong. There is good intention, but maybe there is something wrong that need to be done. And it's quite a good platform. Now, maybe just to give us a little bit of an overview, how is that 2 or 3 hours going to look like, the gala dinner itself? Because some of us only attend the high school gala dinner, but we don't really know at that level. How is a gala dinner look like, the attendance, maybe some of the few events that will happen there within that? Just if you can give us an overview on that.
Yeah, the event will be graced by the Right Honorable Prime Minister, himself.
Yeah.
We expect him to be, or he's going to address the keynote. Also our chairperson, Ambassador Miriam Mukusa, also the cabinet secretary to cabinet.
Yeah.
She will also be in attendance, and other delegations from other ministries we expected to come on board.
Mm-hmm.
So the event will, we have got some little of performance in it. I think everything is in place.
Yeah.
And we expect to see a lot during that evening.
Yeah, just why we are there, because we have around 6 minutes, we are doing very well so far.
Mm-hmm.
So let us look at the private sector. I attended the public-private sector forum, and the president indicated that we cannot develop the country if we are divided. We must all work together. But now, how is strategic plans within the private sector, and also how is, assisting the public sector to put their house in order, particularly when it's coming to planning, and those initiative can also allow the private sector also to come on board? How do you build that relationship, if I have to put it that way?
We, through our stakeholder engagement, we encourage private sectors to come on board and assist this initiative.
Mm.
Like you said, the president encouraged the initiative of public-private sector.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I also indicate to say private sector plays a crucial role in national development.
Mm.
You know, once they are on board, they will assist this public institution, because a functioning public institution, you expect to see an improvement business environment where private sector operate within. So them coming on board to support this initiative, once we strengthen this institution, we expect to see good quality services within those institutions or within those local authority. And then once we see that, we expect to attract good investors to come on board, and the economy will improve within that region.
Yeah, Mr. Johannes Atutare, maybe do is there other events which are happening within NIPAM that we should know regarding this?
Yeah, NIPAM is always busy. We are also hosting a culture change seminar.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
On this time we are. This was a directive from the parliament, where from cabinet, where NIPAM needed to come on board and come up with a culture change program.
Mm-hmm.
So this program will take place on the 3rd of December this
yeah.
year.
Yeah.
The direct invitation was also sent out to all ministries already.
Yeah.
And also we just said we need to create momentum before we launch the program on the 3rd of December. We need to host a seminar.
Mm.
And we need to look at one of the institutions that have developed a case study where you can learn from,
where mm-hmm.
other public institutions can learn from.
Mm-hmm.
Hence now we are calling this a culture change seminar,
yeah.
a case study of NAMRA.
Uh-huh.
And, we are going to use NAMRA as a case study. So
yeah.
we are going to have the commissioner of NAMRA, Mr. Semshibude, to come on board and just tell us how they transformed NAMRA,
yeah.
how is the culture at NAMRA. You know, so most of other public institutions can learn from.
No, you know, it's quite very interesting also to have a success story, because
yeah.
I spoke with a lot of callers and also people in the field, but there is always a success story
yeah.
in the public sector, and that's quite a very good thing. So, dear listeners, we are in the conversation with Mr. Johannes Atutare, a spokesperson of NIPAM, Namibia Institute of Public Administration and Management. We call it University of Public Sector. But if you have a question in these 3 minutes, you can engage us in the studio at 083-288-401. Yeah, just maybe to look at the summary, especially regarding the conversation for today, when we speak about the Prime Minister Charity Foundation Gala Dinner. Maybe what are some of the key things that you do not want to forget out there, key things that you want to highlight, especially regarding, this charity foundation that will happen next week, Friday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just going to encourage the public out there to come on board and assist this initiative. It's a national initiative,
yeah.
Which is scheduled to take place on 2025. It's starting at 1800 hour. It's a 3-hour event. I just encourage them to come on board and assist us raising this fund. So, because once the public institution, once we build, we strengthen our public institution.
Yeah.
We also in the end strengthen our nation.
Yeah.
And then we just want to, the public to assist us in transforming or in carrying out our mandate
mm-hmm.
by transforming and ensuring that tomorrow we see an efficient public institution out there.
Yes, that was it from Mr. Johannes Atutare, the spokesperson of NIPAM, and he was indicating to us Prime Minister Foundation or Prime Minister Charity Foundation Gala Dinner that will happen next week on the 28th of November 2025, and the aim is to raise fund, especially to strengthen institutional strategic plan, particularly with the public sector. And this is calling everybody out there to make sure that you are part of this transformation. And Mr. Johannes, thank you very much for taking time, and also thank you very much for sharing this information. And you know, when we listen to success story within public sector, that is what we need, because I don't only look at the document, analyze, and look at the failure, because I know if we have strengthened the public sector, if strategic plans are implemented, we are going to thrive. And you cannot go anywhere without the strong SOEs and strong public sector in the country. But thank you very much for your time, and continue doing the great work that you are doing at NIPAM. And greet Dr. Morangi.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That will bring us to the end of our conversation. And I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Michael Shoveri to unpack the day. And from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now, and see you around.